Welcome to BEN,
Blockchain Education Network,
the largest and longest running network of students, alumni, and professors excited about blockchain across the world. A podcast for students by students, sharing their vision that anyone, regardless of wherever they are in the world, will be able to use blockchain as a vehicle to create wealth for themselves and their communities. This is BEN,
the Blockchain Education Network.
So welcome back to the Blockchain Education Network podcast. My name is Anthony Ng, and I'm here today with...
I'm Raymond Zhu.
And today we're interviewing...
Golan Zada.
Jared Elliott.
They are from Soho Art Club, right? So let's just get right into it. Let's start with... someone opened the door. Let's just start with, what is your company? Soho Art Club.
Soho Arts Club. Yeah. So we started in downtown New York in Soho about over a decade ago. And it was at Warhol's old loft initially. And Grace Jones had a restaurant downstairs. And the concept was, all these artists were getting priced out at the time. You know, the cost of everything is expensive. You have a Celine store down the block and a Chanel store up the block. And we said, how do we keep this alive? How do we give artists in New York a place and a platform to create and to exist? And we continued with this idea. Now we moved to Miami. And our goal is to kind of do something similar to that throughout the world. So we're going to operate as a 501 and maybe even a DAO. That's to be determined. But to bring it back to the NFT platform, to the digital platform, our goal is to use the digital NFT platform as a voice to grow, you know, this physical platform as well. And yeah, we'll get into how...
I guess one of the questions that just popped in my head is, why did you move to Miami? Why was it like, why do you think that was like the right business decision to move south?
Yeah, so I mean, during the pandemic, a lot of things changed. For one thing, you know, the lockdown in New York was really severe, and a lot of the artists got displaced. They lost their homes, they lost their businesses, they lost their studios. And at the time, there was a big push for people to move to Miami because they were just being more friendly towards artists and more welcoming to them. And we got involved in that push too. We found a really beautiful warehouse that was like 10,000 square feet that we could use. And it really served our purpose. It allowed us to grow, and the energy was here. And then with that, just Miami happened to have exploded. And we said, well, hey, you know, I think this could be a home for us. We started to get comfortable, and we started to have pop-up locations in Berlin and in Paris and in other parts of the world. We spent a good amount of time in Asia as well, because we have one of our artists owns a company called Hakula. So we have a pretty strong presence there too. But right now, Miami, the main reason is because it was conducive to the art world.
And I guess next question would be, how are you guys trying to, I guess, transition like this traditional art, like the traditional art industry, to this like new Web3 world?
Right. So, you know, we're not trying to eliminate physical art. That's not our objective. You know, we really do see a value of, whether you're a musical artist, a physical artist, or a performing artist, you know, we see the value of that, and we want to create a platform for people to do that. But in the digital world, the idea is to bring the ability for that as well, of course, to be, you know, a platform for the digital world, but also to bring access, to bring knowledge to those physical artists in that world, to the digital world, so that there can be a cross-pollination, so there can be better marketing. And I see that the digital world is like the Wild West at the moment, where, you know, it makes marketing more affordable, where traditional platforms like Instagram have been derailed because of, you know, the algorithm metrics that are in place. I feel that the NFT world is a lot more friendly, not just to visual artists, but to musical artists, where they can control their own content, get compensated better than they are through the traditional routes. So I see the NFT route as a disruptor, and we want to be a part of that.
So before this interview, you guys told us about Wax, I believe.
Correct.
Let us know about what Wax, what are you trying to do at Wax, and like how are you trying to build on that platform?
Yeah, so I mean, the last NFT conference that we were at in New York, we had the opportunity to meet William Quigley. I mean, we didn't know about him at the time, but then his friend Bones, that he introduced me to, he's like, he's going to be your
Bonds.
Bonds. Yes, Bonds.
Shout out Bonds.
He's like our Yoda, you know. Basically, he's our Yoda in the arts club field, you know. If you're listening to this sponsor, you know, he's actually a real speaker at NFT, you know. Malika's just playing around, but maybe he'll be serious at some point. But yeah, he's like our Shripa, our Yoda in that space. And he was like, Golan, you know who that is? And I'm like, no, I don't know who that is. He's like, that is William Quigley from Wax. You need to meet this person. So then I went up to meet him, and he was gracious enough to, you know, accept it. Both of us graduated Harvard, so. Oh. So we have that connection, you know, and then we've just been speaking every now and then lately. And then went from there. I met this other person, Yoshi, that had this Yoshi coin concept that he created.
Shout out Yoshi.
to the moon, Yoshi. And we love him. He's also part of our team. So we've been just adopting as many people as we can into it, because this isn't about us. This is about really growing our network. And so every time we find somebody that we mesh with, we gel with, we want to kind of incorporate them into our arts club. And the first thing he did was, he's like, Golan, I'm going to give you a coin. She's like, you have to have a wax wallet. So we open a wax wallet and boom, we got a Yoshi coin. Jared got a Yoshi coin.
It's a good looking coin.
And it inspired us. He was like, okay, wow, you know, this was easy. And that was the first thing that went in my mind. This was easy. And then I said, okay, well, maybe that's the right platform. And then we got an invite through Dapper Labs, and we started negotiating with them, and we realized, okay, they have different operations. And we started studying other platforms. And for us, we're not looking to start from zero. We want to have a stable platform that's trusted, because people that are investing want to know that the math and the algo is behind it, you know? And so I feel with Wax, it's a very stable concept. William has been in this space since its inception. So at the end of the day, I trust his judgment. And I also trust the functionality of it. You know, you have some very serious players that would attest that Wax is a strong platform.
And it's battle-tested.
Battle-tested.
So I think that's an important part of any of the technologies. There's going to be, and there already are, so many companies, so many new adopters, so many new people to the space. And you've got to take risk, and you have to pick people that you believe in. But it's, I think, important to really study what's underneath the hood, similar to where you've got Tesla, and then you've got all these copycats. Very few of those people are going to make it. And I think that the same thing will happen in this space, just like the dot-com era, where you've got millions of companies, they see that there's money there, they rush in, and then you've got to really filter through the people that have something advanced and real and battle-tested underlying versus the candy shell, if you will. So yeah, Wax seems to be one of the most talked about amongst the developers and the truly decentralized companies. And so that's what's interesting to us.
Okay, looking at our time, I wanted to ask another question, but that question might be a bit too long. Raymond, do you have any questions?
You mentioned you graduated from Harvard. So did you go right into Soho Arts Club like after you guys graduated from college, or what is your career development kind of like?
I'm an artist dropout.
I mean, I shifted. I initially went to medical school, did that route, and then decided that
he was a dropout. And then he went back to Harvard. Yeah,
and I went back to Harvard. Yeah. Well, yeah. I completed that. I did medicine, but then I decided that it wasn't the career I wanted, so I dropped out of that profession. Yeah, and then decided that architecture suited me better, and then there kind of just discovered that. Went back to my roots. Art was always a place that I really wanted to connect to. And I had this opportunity with the Arts Club, and it just grew, you know, it grew organically.
I sold a lot of flowers.
Yes.
I was a patron of the flowers. And I was sharpening my skills at business, and I was doing a pre-medical major and an art major. So I was painting and doing science classes and trying to figure out what the hell I wanted to do in the world. And at the very end, I decided I want to be an artist. So I jumped off and took that risk, opened a gallery and a studio with friends of mine that were also in the same class as me, and started blowing glass. And so I've been a glass blower for 20 plus years and dabbled in various different industries in that space. And one thing led to another, and I just kind of kept building on that foundation of creative. So that led me to open up sneaker stores. And then I started designing product. And then I started working in the fashion space. And I've been a DJ for 20 years. So all the things kind of always orbited each other. And I guess I'm a true serial entrepreneur. I just have started many companies that didn't really succeed. And some of them did. And so I have always just taken my losses and paid them forward and started new things and continued to build on that over my 39 years on this space rock. Yeah.
You don't look a year over 20, bro.
Thank you.
I guess the last question I'm going to ask you guys is, if you had one piece of advice, I know you might have got this question a lot, or it might be like kind of a cliche question, but like, what's one piece of advice you have for, I guess, the younger generation?
I think you should always chase your passion. You know, don't try to chase something because somebody else did it or because, you know, there's a social pressure or your parents can pressure you. I think really, you know, go with your gut instincts. And, you know, education is important, but at the end of the day, you look at the strongest, most of them dropped out of even some of the best universities and they chased their passion. So if you have an idea that you feel the world needs, then go after it.
I'm usually pretty long-winded. I'm going to make this one short. In the words of the unfortunately recently passed Virgil Abloh, make mistake. And what that means is don't be afraid to try new things and put yourself all the way out there if you believe something.
You're going to continue on.
Yeah, I started to get a little choked up. My friend passed away contemporary yesterday, but
I'm sorry for your loss.
But he's a amazing person. You should really follow Virgil and see everything he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And the messaging there is just really good because you want to break the mold, you know, or in the words of Steve Jobs, poke the universe, make a dent in the universe, as he said. Yeah.
Some inspiring words.
Yeah.
I just want to say one more time, thank you for your time. I know you guys are kind of rushing to get to something right after this. So
thanks for pulling us in.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Everything. Good luck with everything.
Raymond Jeffany, last word.
I would just like to say also on my behalf, like, thank you for doing this interview.
Sure.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
How does everyone get access to this podcast?
I have you on Twitter. I have your Instagram.
Cool.
I will just pass it on to you guys as soon as I figure out when it gets posted.
All right, when you guys become world famous, don't forget us.
Yeah, don't forget us.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Give the dap. Boom.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good one.
This was another episode of BEN,
Blockchain Education Network.
Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Also, keep up with us on Twitter and Instagram @blockchainedu and visit our YouTube channel for more valuable blockchain content.